Section 2, Practical Vedanta. Chapter 9, The Human Composition. Basic Constitution. The mission of every human being is to discover the Supreme Self, to realize the eternal being within you. It requires a study of your constitution, an analysis of its constituents, and how each of them reacts with the external world. Thus, through self-study and a programmed application, you reach the innermost core of your personality. You realize your divine self. A human being is constituted of the divine self, Atman, and the body, mind and intellect. The self is the spirit, the body, mind and intellect is matter. Matter is inert, insentient, but in contact with the self it becomes a living being, a phenomena akin to an electric bulb glowing. The bulb has no light in it, nor does electricity. But when the bulb is in contact with electricity, there is a brilliant expression of light. So also, your matter equipments have no life in themselves, nor does the self. But when the equipments are in contact with the self, there is a scintillating expression of life. The physical body houses the organs of perception and action. The organs of perception take in stimuli from the external world. The stimuli are color and form for the eyes, sound for ears, smell for nose, taste for tongue, and touch for skin. The mind and intellect react with the stimuli. The organs of action send out responses back into the world. If the mind alone reacts with the stimuli, without consulting the intellect, the responses would be impulsive, eccentric, hysterical, leading to insanity. But when the mind consults, takes the guidance of the intellect, the responses would then be objective, discreet, mature. Whatever be the activities of the body, mind and intellect, the self is the life principle enlivening them all. That is said to be Atman, God. The supreme power which vitalizes your body to act and perceive, your mind to feel and your intellect to think. Without the presence of the self, these equipments remain inert as a mass of matter. However, the skeptic questions the authenticity of the existence of the supreme power. He refuses to accept anything beyond the perceptible terrestrial world because of inadequacy of thinking material required for conceiving the transcendental, and dismisses the concept of a transcendental being as a fanatic belief of a person without reason backing it. Ironically, there are many aspects of the world that the skeptics themselves believe, accept without reason. The most rational, even scientists, would find it difficult to live in the world without assumptions and beliefs. In truth, it would be practically impossible to go by reason, proof, at every turn of life. How do you know that you are the son of your parents? When you go for a meal to a restaurant, How do you know the food is not contaminated? When you hire a cab, how do you know the driver is sane? There are numerous other questions that remain unanswered in your mind. You perhaps would prima facie dismiss these thoughts as absurd, ridiculous. Yet you go through these experiences by mere assumptions, beliefs. However, these beliefs and assumptions are not totally baseless. They are supported by several corroboratory evidences which stand to reason. Hence, they are not blind beliefs. Likewise, the introduction of the Supreme Self as the transcendental power, the Godhead, vitalizing the material equipments into living beings is not a groundless belief. A careful analysis of life's experiences would provide you enough reason to substantiate the belief. You refer to your equipments as my body, my mind, and my intellect. The use of the possessive pronoun my indicates that there are two factors, the possessor and the possessed. The possessor is you, and the possessed, the body, mind, intellect. The equipments are therefore your possessions. They belong to you. If this be so, then who are you? Take away the body, mind, and intellect from your personality. There seems nothing left. Yet you feel a subject, integrating them and claiming these objects as its possessions. That unknown subject has been designated as Atman, the self within. Furthermore, observe the functioning of your equipments. You notice your physical body constantly changing. So do you find your mind vacillating with a variety of emotions and feelings, and your intellect growing at times, deteriorating, in effect changing. You recognize these changes taking place in your personality. Such recognition is not possible without there being a changeless entity. It is a law of science that a change is noticeable only with reference to a changeless factor. Just as the movement of a train is noticeable only with reference to the immovable objects outside, whereas the movement of an aircraft is not noticeable as there is nothing in a cloudless sky to relate to. Therefore, the recognition of the changes in the equipments and their function posits the existence of an unchanging aspect in you. That unchanging being is said to be the Supreme Self. Yet another corroboratory evidence of an eternal being is the persistent existence of the I in everyone's life. You use the pronoun I liberally without realizing its existence, its significance. The I runs through your entire lifespan. You claim, I am rich or poor. I am a boy or girl. I am young or old. You also say, I am well or ill. I am happy or unhappy. I am brilliant or dull. The same I runs through the equipments and their experiences. I perceive sense objects. I feel emotions. I conceive thoughts. Furthermore, it traverses the realms of the waking, dream, and deep sleep. In the waking state, you claim, "I am an athlete, waker." In the dream state, "I am an invalid, dreamer." And in the deep sleep, "I am nothing, sleeper." These experiences are diverse, heterogeneous. But there is a homogeneous entity holding them together, the I pervading the three states of consciousness, percolating every physical, emotional, and intellectual experience. That should provide enough evidence for any rational human being to investigate its presence and purpose in life. In a puppet show, the artist is not seen by the audience. From his unseen position, he manipulates a number of wires to activate the puppets. The audience is thrilled at their movement and gesture. Children look upon the inert objects as free agents. Consider them to be independent actors. They are not grown up to visualize the wires and the artist behind the show. But others with a limited insight spot the wires, yet fail to recognize the artist behind it. They are quite complacent to believe that the wires are the cause of the show. But the intelligentsia go beyond the wires, understand and appreciate the work of the artist behind it all. Likewise, ignoramuses look at the world with wonderment, consider beings as free agents, have no clue of anything beyond the external manifested world. They give all importance to the physical body and its actions. The more intelligent recognize the inner strings of the mind and intellect playing upon the otherwise inert objects. But those with spiritual insight see the supreme unmanifest power as the primal cause of the manifest world of beings, perceive the divine conductor of the orchestra of life, while the ignorant, out of sheer intellectual fatigue, dismiss the existence of the transcendental being. You would be wise to study the human composition thoroughly. Go through the process of self-analysis. Practice the appropriate spiritual discipline. Develop deeper philosophic insight and pursue the evolutionary path until you discover the Supreme Self. Attain spiritual enlightenment.